We certainly appreciate your attendance today. Thankful that each and every one of us can be here to worship our God. Appreciate all that attended the Christmas party yesterday afternoon. It went well, with the exception of a few who may have to repent over the game that we played, but it was all done in fun, certainly, and we enjoyed that. Some of you may have seen a movie several years ago that was titled Amadeus. It was a fine arts movie, basically, about Mozart, the great composer. And Mozart was one of those people who was loaded with artistic genius. He also had an oversized ego to match his talent. And undoubtedly, he was a man who did not have to agonize over his musical masterpieces, because writing music came easy to him. He failed to learn self-discipline in his life. And with Becky being an educator, she's seen some of this in schools where children are very talented and they don't have to study, and then when they get to a point where they go to college and they have to study, they don't know how to study. But it was basically the same thing with Mozart here. His writing required minimal effort on his part because he was a natural talent. And the narrator of the film was Antonio Salieri, the court composer in Vienna. And he admired the brilliant talent of Mozart. But at the same time, he was filled with envy that God permitted an arrogant, rude drunkard to be such an outstanding instrument of divine melody. And the troubling part of that movie, at least to me, is that if we're not careful, we may see a little bit of Salieri in ourselves. Each one of us has recognized brilliant talent in our field of endeavor. And we may have wondered why God gave such great talent to people whom we may judge to be undeserving or unappreciative of the very gift we long to have. And there are times when we're so busy admiring other people's gifts that we fail to recognize and appreciate and develop the gifts that God has given to us. And there are probably other people who are secretly admiring our gifts and wondering why we are not more appreciative of them. Aren't you thankful that God saw fit to provide teachings like the parable of the talents? This parable follows the parable of the 10 virgins. You recall how that 5 were prepared and 5 were unprepared. And Jesus said, "Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour." The parable of the talents immediately precedes the instruction of Jesus that whoever gives drink to the thirsty, refuge to strangers, clothing to the naked, visits the sick and imprisoned, are serving Christ and will inherit the heavenly kingdom. Although this parable of the talents is intended to teach about good financial stewardship, it can certainly be applicable to everything that God has given to us, including our abilities. I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 19 through verse 30. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, "Master, you have entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." But his master answered and said to him, "You wicked, lazy slave. Excuse me. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Certainly, we learn from this parable that God made us as distinctive individuals. Attempts are made on every hand to categorize or pigeonhole people with other people according to their race, according to their religion, according to their nationality and their age and financial status and so forth and so on. But we marvel when we realize that the trillions of people who have ever lived on this earth, none of them are exactly alike. God put his creative trademark on every person. Even identical twins are not completely identical. No person has the same fingerprints, retina, body features, voice, personality, mannerisms, goals, priorities, etc., as you do. When God made you, he threw the mold away. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. "You formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well." Certainly, I've used this passage before to show that a baby is a baby in its mother's womb. As we can see here, that God formed the inward parts, even in the mother's womb. It is satisfying to know that God recognizes our strengths, but he does not mock our weaknesses. In fact, he sent his only begotten Son to sacrifice his life for us because he loves us, despite our weaknesses, despite our limitations. And it is encouraging to know that God does not lump us all together and demand that we lose our self-identity when we become his children. Instead, he joyously accepts our individuality because he created us that way. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, the Lord knows those who are his. And he knows everything there is to know about us. He knows our thoughts. He knows our actions. He knows our inner being as well as our outer being. And as Bill said earlier in his prayer, God even knows the number of hairs on our head. He didn't have to count as many on me as he does on Bill. But he even knows our needs before we ask him to meet those needs. And that, for a Christian, that should be comforting, to know that God knows everything there is to know about us. He knows what is best for us. He knows what we need. God does not give every person the same abilities, nor the same responsibilities. To the three men in the parable, he gave according to their abilities. And that's what he does with you and with me. God never intended that we spend a lifetime intimidating other people who may not possess as much ability as we do, nor being intimidated by other people whom we perceive as being more talented than we are. We are not competing with one another for the best mansion in heaven. In fact, in John the 14th chapter, where it I believe it's King James and other versions translate that as mansion, in reality, it should be translated as dwelling place. There are enough dwelling places for all of us in heaven. And we are not even competing with ourselves, as if we can achieve our heavenly inheritance through self-accomplishment. God has challenged us to accept and to develop that with which he has entrusted to us. And this should cause us to grow and to be prepared to accept more gifts and more responsibilities as we grow and mature in Jesus Christ. As long as we are growing, God will keep on giving. Certainly, we should be thankful for that. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 17, "If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired." Let me read that again. God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. No, you may not have the talents of another person, but God has given you what he wants you to have and what he wants you to use in bringing glory to him. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members of one body. Now, God didn't give all of us the ability to lead singing, even though we do wish Ron would wear his glasses where he could see. There you go. God didn't give all of us to be preachers. God did not give all of us to be Bible class teachers. But each one of us have talents, abilities, monetary talents that we can use for the glory of God. And we need to do that. The question to me in this parable is, what are you and I doing with God's gifts? Wasn't that the issue when the master returned from his journey after a long time? He was not an unreasonable master who expected the one talent man to produce the same as the five talent man. The five talent man effectively used what his master gave to him. And it was the very same with the two-talent man. And to both of those men, the master said, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Isn't that a wonderful thought? The joy of our master. What a wonderful time it will be when we are in heaven with God the Father, with Jesus the Christ, the Spirit of God, with all of these things being so wonderful. We'll be worshiping God there won't be any daylight. There won't be any dark. We'll be worshiping God all the time. What a great blessing that will be. During a Monday night football game a number of years ago, it was between the Chicago Bears and the New York Giants. You know how the announcers, when the play gets a little boring, they come in with all these statistics and things to say. And one of the announcers observed that Walter Payton, the Bears' star running back, had accumulated over 9 miles in career rushing yards. And the other announcer remarked, "Yeah, and that was with somebody knocking him down every 4.6 yards. He was a great athlete. Knew that everyone, even the very best, gets knocked down. The key to success is to get up and run just as hard or even harder than you did before." Henry Van Dyke made this statement, and I quote, "Use what talents you possess. The woods would be very silent if no birds sang there except those who sang the best." God has a place for you. God has a place for me, and God wants us to use the gifts that he has given to us. The question is, what are you doing with the abilities and the time and the money that God has given you? And will he say to you in the end, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? I hope and pray that he will to all of us. If you need to respond to the invitation of our Lord, we do invite you to come as we stand and sing.